This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and Valentine's Day has been and gone now, and you may have spent big on the day to impress your partner, but you know, the day is over, the money starts, you're getting the receipts and realize, oh, I spent a bit too much money. The financial stress comes in. How do you keep financial stress out of your relationship? I'm joined this morning by Julia Newbold, editor-at-large with Money Magazine. How are you this morning, Julia?
I'm very well, thank you, Jordan, and yourself?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Mainly because I don't have a partner, so I didn't have to spend big on Valentine's Day. No money stress there. But how do we go about keeping our relationship going strong without worrying about money?
I think with all relationships, friends, work situations, and so on, the main thing is understanding and communication, and understanding where each partner fits and how they think about money, and not just how they think about money, but how they think about the relationship and what they want to achieve through the relationship, and that you really need to have money discussions, as uncomfortable as that may sound.
Definitely. And of course, generally, you know, a relationship, two people coming together, they've got their own individual jobs, own individual accounts. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of debate on whether you should share all your finances or whether you should have separate accounts. One of the ideas is you each have your own account, and then you have a joint account which you pay for all the expenses, the essentials really. So that would include all your utility fees, food, rent, mortgage, those kinds of things.
So I guess food, rent, mortgage, they are the kind of things that do weigh over people on a daily basis, but even more so when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, and you have to really talk about how you feel about these. Like, if one partner wants to go out to dinner all the time and the other partner wants home cooking and wants to save a bit of money on food, you need to have that discussion. Is it really important that we go out to dinner? Is it really important we stay home? And you've got to find a middle ground. But when you don't talk about it and it just starts building up, it builds up like a bit of a resentment that that person's doing something that the other person doesn't want to do. So, you know, you've got to talk about things and you've got to avoid blaming the other person. You think differently and that's fine. You've just got to have an ability to find a common ground.
And without a conversation as well, you can't really blame them for not realising it's something you're not into.
Exactly. And then you've got to look at something further out, which is your goals. Like, you know, if you think about that you want a great holiday each year, then you've somehow got to figure out how you're going to get the money to do that, and where you might have to cut costs, and what's worth it to you to keep spending, and what's worth putting away. And that's a really important discussion. And then that can expand to, you know, the car that you drive, when you have children, how you expect to do that, the sort of house you want to live in. You know, that becomes a really big part of your lives together that really has to be discussed.
And I guess if it is something long-term, marriage could be something that is on the cards. And while marriage isn't necessarily just about getting some tax breaks, there are some tax benefits for making that move.
There are some tax breaks. And then there are also some negatives about, you know, when you get married. But if you're in a partnership and it's de facto, you're kind of living under the same rules anyway. And your combined account, your combined income will be taken into account through your tax filing. And while you still will file your tax individually, there are considerations that will be taken as a couple.
So what are some of those considerations?
So if you don't have private health insurance and maybe you're earning less than you need to before you start getting taxed, if your combined income is going to mean that it pushes you both above it, then you will need to get that before you're taxed extra. So that's just, you know, a little thing that you have to think about. And then also, if you're coming into a relationship or in a marriage and you've both got properties, before you were married, if you sold the property and it's your primary residence, then you don't have to pay a capital gains tax on it. But once you combine, then you can only together live in one property, and so one will have tax implications, the capital gains tax. So you would have to decide which is going to be your primary home, and then the other one will start having capital gains tax attributed to it from the time that you're married.
Of course, when it comes to weddings, a registry is usually something that couples will do. But what if you're a couple, you've already got everything you'd possibly need? Maybe a donation for those tax deductions could be the way to go.
Yeah, well, the tax deduction should go to the people that are giving the gift. But, you know, if you choose that your guest should give a gift that goes towards something like the Smith family or a registered charity of some sort, then they will be able to claim the deduction on the gift.
I guess it's just a matter of, if you actually need anything, or, you know, whether you want to use your big event, your big life event as a means to give back.
That's right. You know, if you're coming into it as a second relationship, you've already got households full of stuff that you don't need, then absolutely it's a good idea and a nice idea to do that.
And, I think that's about all it. Julia, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Jordan.
That was Julia Newbold, Editor-at-Large with Money Magazine on your Classic It's Breakfast.